You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
So you know what? Let's go ahead and let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. So we were here, so today's Wednesday, so we were here on Sunday, right? And let's just go ahead and begin from verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. So what we want to look at is in verse number 1 where it says, "Behold." So behold obviously is to look or to perceive, right? "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." So look or perceive, right? Look or perceive the, it says, that what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called sons of God. So the cool thing while we were, and we were looking at this a tiny bit differently, like we were really focusing on the sons of God and who we are, right, on Sunday. But when we look in verse number 1 where it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God," it's good if we can look at where he says, look and perceive what manner of love the Father has, and that bestowed there is kind of like gifted, right? Bestowed is that he's freely giving to you. Look at what kind of love the Father has freely given to you, that kind of love that the Father has given to you. Look at what kind of love the Father has given to you freely, that because or as a result of that love that the Father has given you, you should be called sons of God, right? That because of the love of the Father for you, that so we know that it was through the body of Christ, and through the cross that we received, the Bible says, and I believe that that's in Galatians chapter 4, I think, where he says that we would receive the adoption of sons through the sacrifice of the cross, that we would receive the adoption of sons. So where he says here in verse number 1, "Behold what manner of love," and if we could just think about that, just to kind of just dwell there for a little bit. "Behold," like look and perceive, "what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." So Lord, you made us sons and you gave us, we received the adoption of sons through the love, through your love, Father, that was freely given to us. The love of the Father. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." So if we jump down, maybe if you could bring us there real quick to 1 John 4 where we were, and we read this on Sunday, verse number 9, so we could just dwell there a little bit more on that manner of love. What manner of love, like look and behold and see and continue in, right? The Lord was saying that earlier today about beholding and continuing in, and Miss Lily was praying about thanking the Lord for people that continue there. In 1 John 4 and in verse number 9, 1 John 4 and verse number 9, it says, In this was manifested the love of God. This is the love of God that was manifest toward us for the reason that we should be called sons of God. Is the love of God, it says, was manifest toward us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And in that life, because of that life that we've received, we're called sons of God. You know, There's an awesome thing to know, you know, and such a special thing, you know, such a cool thing that the Lord is doing in work that He wants to accomplish, right? Work that He wants to accomplish, that He wants His sons, right, to accomplish, right? Those that are like Him, like Christ on the earth, those that are like Christ on the earth, there is so much, you know, so much of the love of the Father that He wants the world to see. So much of the love of the Father that He wants manifested toward us. Can I show you something? And we can go back, maybe Andre's there. If we can go back to 1 John 3 again. 1 John 3 and verse number 1 is good where we were. You know, it's an interesting thing as you recall and you search. And you say, Lord, how many times... You know how often people say Jesus loves you, right? You hear that a lot. People use that a lot. They have you know, bumper stickers, Jesus loves you. You know the funny thing is, Jesus didn't major on His love for us. Right? Like, try to think about scriptures that say that Jesus, it came out of His mouth while He was around people, that He said, I love you. Now try to think about that. How many scriptures can you remember where Jesus says that, where He says, I love you? Right? And you know the reason for that. The reason for that is that it wasn't Jesus Christ came to manifest, right, the love of the Father toward us. That's why He came. Jesus came to manifest the love of the Father toward us. And you know, it's an interesting thing let's go ahead and read it, because it is actually verse number 11 of 1 John 3, verse number 11. Verse number 11, and it says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now watch this, because this is interesting. What I just said there just a second ago, right? We said Jesus came to manifest the love of the Father. That Jesus came to manifest the love of the Father. We walk in this world as with Christ in us, right? No longer us living, but Christ living in us. So the love that wants to be shown, right, is not about our love towards the Father or our love towards people, right? It's the love of the Father being manifest through us. That's the critical and key thing in our lives, right? The love of the Father being manifest through us, right? If that can happen, right, people's lives are changed because they see the love of the Father towards them. So in verse number 11 it says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Interesting. Now watch this. Not as Cain. That we should love one another, not as Cain, right? Watch this. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who was of that wicked one. And the reference that is making to of that wicked one is what we were reading about on Sunday, where we said that those who sin are of the devil, right? Because they have not known me. So those that don't know the Father, those that don't know the Father, don't know of the Father's love for them. And because they don't know of the love of the Father for them, then their works will be evil, right? So he says, this is the message that we heard from the beginning. Love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. He says, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Why was his brother slain? Why did Cain kill his brother? Remember, never leave what the Lord is majoring on, right? What He's talking to you about is loving one another. So He's bringing Cain into the mix, right? He's talking about loving one another, and He says, not as Cain, who slew his brother. And then he asks the question so that He can answer it. He doesn't ask us the question so that we can answer it, right? He asks the question so that He can tell us, right? So he says, and wherefore slew he him? He says, because his own works were evil. Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now what he's doing is, he's not saying like he slew his brother because he was jealous. Right? Because jealousy was not the reason why he slew his brother, right? You know, a court of law may say that was a motive, right? But that wasn't the reason why he slew his brother. Because the reason why he's saying that he slew his brother is because his works were evil. That's why he slew his brother, because his works were evil. Now watch this. In when we read, and maybe you could take us there real quick, Hebrews 11:4. Because he makes reference to Cain. So what he's doing is he's saying we ought to love one another not as Cain, whose works were evil, right? But Abel's were righteous. So basically what the Lord is saying is that we ought to love one another not like Cain, but like Abel. Right? That if we want to love, we ought to love like, not love like Cain, right? Who basically didn't love his brother because he didn't know the Lord, right? And it's an interesting thing. Cain talked to the Lord. So Cain believed that God was, obviously. He knew it. He knew that God was, right? He just didn't love the Father. In other words, he didn't have faith in the Lord. So the works of Cain were the works of Cain. That's really an important thing to understand. The works of Cain and what Cain's life produced was produced by Cain. So that's good to know. Now, in contrast, Abel was different, right? Because in chapter 4 it says, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaks, right? So it's important to see that what he's saying is that what Abel did, so let's talk about where we're getting to, right? So the fruit of Abel's life was produced by faith in God. So what he did, which was a work, right? He came and offered to God, right? So what he produced in his life, right? What he produced in his life, which is what he brought to the Lord, that was done, produced and done, the act, the work of producing that and the act was done by faith in God, right? But Cain, on the other hand, what Cain did, Cain produced. So here's what happens. What Abel produced, he produced by faith in God. So for God not to accept it, if let's say hypothetically God would not have accepted it, he did it by faith in God, so he didn't do it by his own production. So what offense would you have when you do something in the name of Jesus and it's rejected? Well, it's not me that they're rejecting, it's, you know, I did it in faith. So obviously that would not happen, because things that are done by faith, God is pleased with, right? But Cain on the other hand did what he did, and he did it and he produced it, and when it was not accepted, he was offended, right? And so offense to us comes when we produce or we work and it's not appreciated, or we work and we produced and it's not accepted. In this case, not accepted by the Lord. The Lord rejected Cain's offering. So it says that we ought to love one another, right? Going back again to 1 John 3 and verse number 11. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain who was of the wicked one. And that's really key, right? Cain was not of God. Cain was of the devil. In other words, possessive-wise, right? Because today, when you say it's of the devil, it's like you're insulting someone. Like that's like you're insulting me. You're telling me you're of the devil. No, that's talking about who has you. That's who you belong to. So Cain was not of God. Cain was of the devil. Cain did not walk with God. Cain walked in the ways of his father. Abel walked in the ways of his father. Right? That's good to know. So it says, so not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, which he mentioned above, which is the devil, right? He mentioned him above in verse number 8, right? He said, he that committed sin is of the devil. So in verse number 12, he says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, here's a cool thing what we're getting to is that there is work, right? There is much work, especially in these last days that we're living in, right? Lots of work that's needful. And the things that the Lord has been talking to us about, uncommon understanding, right? Uncommon, how the Lord has delivered us from the common things of this world, right? And we're gaining uncommon understanding of Christ so that things can be done in this world but need to be done by Him. Now watch this for a second, because that's where we're going. So in verse number 13, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. In verse number 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So this is important, right? Because he's saying, here's how you know that you've passed from death to life. In other words, here's how you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's saying, here's how you know that you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, that you're saved, right? This is how you know. He says, because you love your brethren, right? So it's an important thing to understand. He's saying, here's how you know that the Holy Spirit is in you, because you can love your brother. right? You can love your neighbor, you can love your enemy. This is how you know that, because there's fruitfulness there. You know, it's so critical to understand that, right? That Abel's works were done by faith, right? Therefore, they were godly things that were done. It was the work of God that was done through Abel's life, right? Cain produced his own works, and they were rejected by God, and it led him in death and continually in death and to death, even in his own life, right? And here it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. And I'll just read this to you. We won't go there just for the sake of not bouncing you back and forth. But 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, right? In other words, that we might have life through him. He sent him. This is the love of God. God sent his love so you could live. God sent his love so you could have life. It's the same thing as saying God sent Christ so you can live, right? So back again where we were in verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So what he's saying is, simply, right, he's saying if you can love your brother, you know that you abide in life. Because no man can love his brother, and the love that it's referring to here is loving in truth. In other words, true love, right, towards a brother, true love that is lasting, that is unqualified, that is pure, true, unqualified love, right, can only happen through the Spirit of God as a fruit. That's the first one, right? In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That can only happen. That fruitfulness can only come if you have faith in Jesus, right? That's how that comes. So he says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So what it's going to do, the rest of this night, what you're going to see as we finish up today, is you're going to see that back and forth, it's going from saying that you can tell that you can love, right? You can tell that you can love your brethren, that you've passed from death to life because you love. So it's saying if you love your brethren, that's a sign that if you see fruit, that means that you have life in you. If you see no fruit, that means if you don't see a love for your brethren, that means that you don't have fruit of the Spirit. That means that you abide still in death, right? That people still, when you don't see a love for the brethren, when you don't see a love, a godly love from them towards people, that means they still abide in death, right? They don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Therefore, they can't be fruitful without Him. So you'll see that going back and forth. You'll see it saying that you see that you have life because you love, and you'll see that you love because you have life, right? So let's look at this again. Verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. It says, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Look at 16, it's really good. Hereby it says, perceive we the love of God. They italicize of God because they're adding that. But basically though, this whole thing is talking about loving one another. And that's a correct, you know, if there was any need to try to qualify that, he is talking about the love of God there. So he says, here's how you perceive love. Here's how you perceive love. Here's how you perceive love. Because he laid down his life for us. And this is interesting. And we ought to lay down our lives, right, for the brethren. So he says, here's how you perceive love. Because Jesus laid down his life for us. So we know that he came and he died on the cross. So we know that it was through the cross that he laid his life down. So watch this. So what's difficult sometimes for us when we read that is we say, Lord, okay, so what you're saying is that you loved us and you laid down your life for us. So we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, right? We also ought to lay down our lives, right, for others. So what we do is then we try to interpret that laying down our life, and we say, okay, that means that I have to put other people first, right? But that's what lay down our lives means, is that we put other people first. But you know, where confusion is eliminated is not when you look at how do I produce fruit, but you stay with this, right? You stay in that you know that what God has called you to do is to fix your eyes on Jesus, that you know that that's what you're supposed to do. So if you allow there to be a gray area where you think there's a possibility, right, that there is something else that you ought to do, you'll think along those lines. But if you don't, God can correct you with His Word and say, I'll show you what that means. Just don't stick your mind over there thinking that there's something else you ought to do. That it's about faith in me, but you also, when you look at people, you have to think, okay, no, I have to put them first, Lord, right? Because now you're thinking about a work. Now you're thinking about something that's your responsibility to carry out and to do, and now we're off base again. So stick with what we know. What we know is that He's called us to fix our eyes on Jesus, that it's about faith in Him, right? So watch this. So let's leave the second part. So let's understand the first one first. He said, here's how you perceive love. Because if you can perceive and see love, then you're going to understand the second part, right? So he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Because He laid down His life for us. So let's take a look, right? Let's go to Luke 22 and verse number 42, right? Luke 22. And let's look at that, right? Luke 22 and verse number... maybe 40, right? Luke 22 and verse number 40. And look at what he says. He says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down, he prayed, saying, now watch this, right? Because if we were to allow incorrect thinking to take over, and you don't let the Lord teach you, you would walk away from reading the verse that we just read and say, well, you know what? That's what Jesus did. Watch human reasoning, right? That's what Jesus did. He looked at the cross and he said, Father, he said, I love them. And because I love them, and obviously, Jesus did love us, but just stay with the facts, right? We would say that what he said was, Father, I love them. And I am willing now to just lay down my life for them, that through my death, they may live. Right? So I will put them first. Before anything that I feel, I will put them first. And so, Lord, that they may learn by my example. But that's not what he said, right? Look at what he said. He was, in verse number 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And what he's going to do is he's going to go to the cross, right? And what he's saying is, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Right? So what he said is, what he basically said, and what you can see in all of the things that the Lord has been teaching us, here's what he said. He said, Lord, and we're going to read it in a second, because he says, here's what he said. He said, Lord, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not ask for, but a body you have given me. So it is written, right? A body you have given me. And he says, I have come to do thy will, O God. So he was born in a human body in order to do the will of God. So he comes to that place and he says, Father, he says, a body you have given me. So this is what is in the head of our Savior, right? He knows the purpose for which he came, and now has come that hour. And he says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. So all he's saying is, this body is for you, and you are for this body. Therefore, do what you want with it. Right? And what does the Lord do? He manifests out His love. The Father manifests His love through Him to us. Right? So the key thing there is not an emotion inside Jesus' mind that He's saying, Father, I love them so much, and therefore because of my love for them, I will do that. This. But what it is He came with a purpose. He came to manifest the love of God to us. He came to manifest the love of the Father to us. So He has lived and does live on the inside of us now. So if he laid down his life, how did he lay down his life? He said, Father, this body is for you, right? You're going to love them through this. You're going to show them and you're going to manifest how much you love them, right, through what will happen on the cross, right? So how do we, if he laid down his life, if he laid down his life, how do we lay down his life? He said, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life. That he would lay down his life for his friends, right? That he would lay down his life. So if the greatest of love is to lay down his life, and we say, well, because Christ laid down his life, we also ought to lay down our lives. How do you lay down your life? You say, Father, a body you have given me. And Lord, you are for this body, and this body is for you. The Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord. So therefore, Lord, let your will be done on this earth, just like it is in heaven. Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. It's no longer I that live. So it's not my will that's prevalent, but your will. And your will. So basically, I put my faith in you so that your will comes to pass. I put my faith in you so that you will do your will, oh God. So Jesus laid down his life by putting faith in the Father. He laid down his life by putting faith in the Father. So how do we lay down our lives, right? Because we are to love one another. So how do we go and love the people of other countries, right? How do you go and love the people in Malaysia? How do you go and love the people of China? How do you go and love the people in all the different parts and the surrounding states that are around us? How do people see the love of the Father as you lay down your life? How do you lay down your life? How are you crucified with Christ, right? How do you take up your cross, right? It is no longer you that live, but it is Christ that lives in you. And a body, my Father, you have given me so that you can love them. Now here's an interesting thing. While we're on that, right? If we can go to John 14, just an interesting thing, really just cool, that cements things and just keeps us on the same wavelength. John 14 and verse number 20. You know, it's just awesome, right? Jesus did awesome things. And he had his eyes on the Father. Right? He said of himself, he said, 12 years old, didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? So it's not about going, it's interesting, a Savior wouldn't have his mind, right, filled, right, with a task that he's received to save the world, but instead he would live his life with a mindfulness on his Father. And knowing that he said, I am always busy because my Father is always busy in me, right? He said, he is always busy in me, therefore I am always busy. That stands to reason, right? Because the Lord is busy in his body, right? Therefore, he was a busybody, right? He was a busybody about his Father's business. His Father busy in his body, doing his will. So all things, notice when Jesus said something, he said, these things must be done to be fulfilled, to fulfill. So he did what he did to fulfill what? To fulfill the will of the Father. The Father spoke it, therefore it must be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled, right? Because it is truth. So he says in 14:20, he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. He says, and you're in me, and I'm in you. He said, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. So you know, if you keep his commandments, faith in Jesus, he says, that's how you love me. That's how you love me. So watch what he says. It says, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. So what's the key thing that starts all this in motion, right? The thing that starts all this in motion is that the Father loved us, and then we believe that. The Father loved us, showed us his love, manifested love through the cross, right? And then we believe that. He says, if you believe that, watch what happens now. He said, you shall be loved by, it said, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and he says, and I will love him. But you know what you see in there? You see like an imposed then, right? If you believe the Father, he says, if you believe the Father, he will love you, then I will love you. Because I can't love you if he don't love you. Why? Because it's the Father that's loving you through me. So for you to tell someone, I love you, and you feel, right, an intense love towards your neighbor, an intense love towards people, right? Don't be fooled into thinking, obviously, that that's our love, right? That's an unqualified love of the Father that loves even when you're wronged, you still love. Even when you're wronged, you still love. Even your enemy, you still love. And he says, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And that word manifest there, you already know what he's manifesting, because there's only one thing. Jesus Christ did not come to give himself a reputation. He came to manifest the Father. He came to manifest the Father. Can I tell you something? See, you have to, if you see, Lord, all this time, look at what you've been showing us. Look at what you've been teaching us. The Lord never would go through teaching you what he's teaching you about how fruitfulness comes without you knowing and fully understanding that he's called you to that fruitfulness, that he's called you to that bearing of fruit so that the Father can be glorified. That's the main thing, and what Pastor Mike mentioned it in John 15. He says, in this my Father is glorified. He says that you bear much fruit. The will of God is that his sons would bear fruit. That's the will of God. So the will of God for you is that you would bear fruit. And again, going back to what he's been saying, if you see how full of purpose that is, how full of purpose it is what you're doing right now, how full of purpose, how full of the purposes of God is. You know what you're doing? You're placing yourself about your Father's business. Not just here, but everywhere you go. That mindfulness, right, that begins to transform, and completely change the way you think and who you are, so that you can know, Father, this body truly is for you, and you truly are for this body, right? Use it, Father. Let your will be done. You notice the bunch of garbage? The bunch of garbage that the church has been filled with, they're going all over trying to find purpose. They haven't understood that their body is his, and that he is for their body, and that he wants to work through their body. They're looking for callings, they're looking for titles, they're looking for stages, they're looking for things, they're looking for stuff, and yet all along, the Spirit of God on the inside of them, yearning to give them the greatest purpose of all, which is Him living through them. He said He was manifest so that we would live through Him. Manifest so that we would live through Him. So that we can know what God is doing and say, my God. See, that song said it. This is life. This is life. To bid me to come and dine. When the Lord says, come and eat what is good, that you would get to a place in your life where you say, Father, as I delight myself in you, and I eat what is good, and I delight myself, and I hear your gospel, and I'm growing in this, and I'm seeing what you're doing in my life, you come to a place where you say, Lord, this is life. This is life. And the more that you come to his table, and the more that you eat thereof what he has freely given, the more that you will... He said that your joy, in John 17, so beautiful, that's worth reading, right? He says that your joy may be full. Right? And we have the church going crazy about how God wants you to be happy, and he wants to give you all of the things in this world. Listen, this refuse that's in the world is not what God wants to give you to bring you joy. Because God will never give you something that falls through your fingers so that that would be your joy, right? But he desires to give you such joy, a joy that is full and unfading, that just it's sustainable. Sustainable. This world seeks to find sustainable energy. That if they can find sustainable, everything that the world is looking for is for something that is sustainable. Because if they can find something sustainable, then they can know that they can continue. The only only one that is sustainable, that is sustainable power and strength in our lives, is the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And He wants you to feel and understand that fullness and a joy that is full and a love that is full and a satisfaction that is full. The apostle said, he said, for Christ is our, he says, he is our sufficiency. He says, I don't look for men to make me feel sufficient. I don't look for, he says, you know what one of the apostles said? Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, you know what? He says, your judgment of me, he says, means very little to me. Your judgment of me, in other words, how you would look at me and judge me, he says, means very little to me because I don't even judge myself. Right? He says, God is the one, he says, that judges me, and he's judged me righteous. So he says, your judgment of me, he says, means very little. These are the people that he's ministering to, right? So Paul was not trying to build a ministry, right? Paul was in the process of building the kingdom, not building a ministry, right? So it's an awesome thing to see when God is building his kingdom through you, right? When God is building his kingdom through you, see, it's not about opinions, and it's not about gimmicks, and it's not about anything else than just the truth of the gospel. So it's good to see good, awesome things, to see what the Lord is doing in you. Oh, what the Lord is doing in you. It's so good. So good. You know what? We're gonna wind this up. So let's go to where we were in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. God is good. That where we were saying that a body you have given me, he says, I have come to do your will. That's Hebrews chapter 10. That's Hebrews chapter 10. It's good, right? To see sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have given me. Good. So let's go there. Then 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse number 16 where we were. Good. In verse number 16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Right? He came to do the will of the Father. So you can read that and you can say, here's how you perceive the love of God. Jesus did the will of the Father, therefore we will do the will of the Father. Isn't it an awesome thing, listen, that you don't have to look at people and try to make them love you? That you don't have to try to gain people's favor? That you don't have to say things to them that are not true in order just to win them over? That you don't have to say things that are insignificant and pose no help, give no help to people just in order to try to keep them? Right? In order to try to keep them. Listen, I'm not telling you that it's going to be the popular way, because it is far from the popular way, right? I'm just telling you it's the right way. I'm just telling you that it's the right way. It is better to have, listen to me, it's better to have 12 men that understand that everything that they have comes from God and everything that comes out of them is of God, right? Than to have a multitude that are there and taking up room but haven't understood and are just deceiving themselves in their own minds, right? It's really honestly, can I tell you, what God is about, he is about effectiveness for the things that have to be done, right? It's not about the number of people that know it, right? It's about the number of people that know what has to be done so that what can be spread is truth and not anything else. There's been enough lies throughout the years and things that are inaccurate spread about God and about the gospel and about the work of the church. It is due time and overdue time, right, that people begin to hear what the true work of the church is and the only thing that God has called them to, so that they can become busy about their Father's business, right? Which is to be busy about his business is to do what? Speaking and hearing the things that he has done, and the Father will do his work, right? Thank God that he is God Almighty and that he can do his work. Thank God that he can do his work. Thank God that he can do his work. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. It says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's goods, listen to this, whoso hath the world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, and of compassion is added, but shuts up his bowels from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know all that's saying? How can a person see a need and not help that need? How can a person who has the love of God, what do you have in you? The love of God. What does that person know? How can a person know the love of God and not work? You see what that is? How can a person know and be focused on the love of God and not work? Right? Why? Because when you have the love of God, and when you possess and are seeking after the knowledge of the love of God, God will work and God will meet that need. God looked at Philip and he said, how are you going to feed them? Knowing full well he was going to feed them. God's not asking you to take care of that need. God is just asking you to know his love. He'll take care of that need. But if that need is not taken care of, that means the love of God is not in you. Right? That means the love of God is not in you. So he says, and I'm going to tell you something. It is worth, and there are people, listen, I understand fully, there are people that go unhelped in this life, right? Unhelped by the church, unhelped by people in general, right, that are of the church. There are lots of people that go unhelped by the church the right way, right? Because you know what it is? Just because of lack of knowledge. But it is worth the time to know, and then after you know, to let the Father do it. You know why? Because when the Father produces fruit, it remains. When the Father helps a man, he's doing it full of purpose. Full of purpose, and it's not just about the sandwich, right? It's full of purpose. So he sees a need, he's going to meet that need, but he wants them to know that he desires to meet all their needs forever according to the riches and glory that can abide in them. God will meet a need of someone else who doesn't know God at all and will meet their need and give to them for your sake, right? A person can be blessed by God, right? They can receive something. We should just leave it at that, right? A person can receive something that is an ungodly individual, right? For your sake, because you have the fullness of God in you and you gave that to them. But the purpose that God wants in them is that they could know that they can receive the fullness of God. That they can have their needs met according to His riches and glory. Full of purpose. Instead, what we do is we design a system in the church that makes people dependent upon a church system. Just like people are dependent upon a governmental system, whenever a church can get big enough to be able to sustain people, then they become dependent upon that church, right? But it's not about building church dependencies, right? The church is about, listen, we should be able to meet the needs of the world, and the people in the church have no needs. Right? That's how it ought to be. The people in the church with no needs, and we go out to meet needs. But instead we have places and churches filled with people that think they have needs, right? And they're saved and they love God, but they think that they're full of needs because they haven't seen their riches, right? They don't see how rich they are. So because they don't see their riches, they think they're poor, and they're just there trying to receive. And all the time, they're distracted with themselves. When a disciple of God, right, should not be distracted with himself, but be able to have eyes wide open enough by the Spirit of God to see a need and for that need to be met through them. But if we can be blinded to think that we come to service just to be able to have our needs met because we've been suffering so much during the week that we just have to have a little bit of church so that our problem could be fixed, we're still distracted. And God wants to meet your needs, but He wants you to know that you're full. He wants you to know that He's sustaining you, that He can take care of you, right? And that He can minister to others through you. It's just a good thing to know. So let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. I promise you we are. So he says in verse number 18, remember it was talking about that Cain's works were evil, right? Abel's works were righteous because he had faith in God. Now verse number 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So here's the funny thing. Don't ask me why they call that deed, because it's the exact same word that's used in verse number 12 of that Cain's works were evil. So that works there is the same word there. It's the word ergon. And with all that says is there, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in work and in truth. In work and in truth. It means God wants us to, right? God wants us to love our one another in work and in truth, knowing that that work comes from that truth. And James puts it clearly, right? Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. Works come from faith, right? Works come from faith. Let us love one another in work and in truth. And because you know the truth, right? Because you know the truth, and His Word is truth, and His Word is Spirit, right? Because we know the truth, and because we meditate on the truth, and because that's our work, then we're able, right? The work gets done. The Father produces that work. That's how you love. Loving is work. To love someone is going to be a work through you, right? It's just that another word for that work is fruit, right? So you could say, let us love in fruit and in truth, right? Because love is a fruit. So if He's saying, let us love, what He's saying is, He needs fruit, right? Let us have fruit. How are you fruitful? With a mindset on Him. With a mindset on Him. And He says, if we can wrap this up, if we can go to... Can we go, and we're going to end right here. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse number 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 16. Look at what it says. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has, it says to us. The love that God hath to us. It says, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Dwelling, meditating, constantly thinking on, not the things of the earth, but the things of God. And it says that we have known and we have believed the love that God has for us. It says God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. And you can say it's your love because it's, right, the Father and, right, the Son have come. He said, we will love you and we will come and make our home in you. So he says, herein is our love made perfect. And that's not talking about your human love, because your human love wouldn't be perfect, right? It's not talking about a fleshly love because you've been circumcised. It's talking about the one that's living through you because you don't live. Therefore, if it's your love, it's his love, because you're not living, he's living, right? So herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, in other words, that boldness in the day of judgment is because we know that judgment is not for the church, right? Judgment is not for his bride, right? But he says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It says, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. And then in verse 19, that's a good place to close. He says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, if you could just always remember that the love of God is not defined because of your love. Love is not defined because of your love for God, but it's defined because of God's love for you. So always, you want to abide in love, it's his love for you. You want to love others, it's his love for you. You want to love your spouse, it's his love for you. Right? It's always going to be his love for you, because that's where your mind is. You want to love your neighbor, it's his love for you. You want to love your enemy, it's his love for you. Jesus himself said, if you believe what I've done, he says, the Father will love you. He says, then I will love you. The Father will love you, and I will love you. Right? And we will come and we will make our home in you. Why? Because you believe. You believe what? You believe the love. You believe the love that God has for you.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.